This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you to another in our series, The Best in Islam. As you know, in this series, we are looking at what Allah and His Messenger have defined as what is ultimately best. Best in human endeavor, best human beings, best acts of worship, etc., etc. Guidance has been given to us as motivation on one hand and direction on the other hand in terms of where we should put our focus, because Islam is huge. It governs every aspect of life. And there's some aspects of it which are more important and more critical. Allah and His Messenger have pointed these out, and He has added in their explanation that they are the best, or they are better, or they are good. And it is all of these various texts which we have gathered together in this program on the best in Islam. In our previous episode, we were looking briefly at the best in terms of invitation to Islam, or da'wah, and we looked briefly at the verse 125 in Surah An-Nahl, which is the 16th chapter. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and discuss with them using that which is better. In the previous segment, we touched on the basic meanings of this verse, but there were some other issues that we also need to consider. Among them, the fact that Allah begins with the command, ud'u, call, a command to do this. Call to the way of your Lord. Indicative of this propagation of Islam being an obligation on the Ummah. It was an obligation on Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, to convey the message to those around him. And he being the last of the messengers, whose message was to reach the whole of humankind, then all of his companions, his followers, etc., that duty is shared by them. So the calling to Islam, or inviting others, or explaining Islam to others, is an obligation on each and every Muslim. And it is an obligation which varies according to the level of knowledge that the person has. Because of course some people might say, well, I don't know very much about Islam, so how can I call others to it? Well, the Prophet in another narration had stated, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. You should convey whatever you have learned from me, even though it may be a single verse from the Quran. So if that's all you know, then that's all that you are required to convey. Because of course you shouldn't try to convey or enter into areas that you don't have knowledge of, so you don't confuse people and misguide people or turn people off from Islam. So according to the knowledge that we have, each and every one of us is required to share that knowledge with those around us, especially those of us who live in communities where there are many non-Muslims, or we might actually live in non-Muslim countries. Then it becomes an even greater responsibility. Where we're in Muslim countries where the contact with non-Muslims might be rare, then obviously the obligation is less, and maybe we could say that the obligation now to invite Muslims to practice Islam properly is the greater obligation. So, first and foremost, we recognize from this verse that it is an obligation on us to invite others to Islam. That obligation will be an individual obligation where no one else is engaged in it. Otherwise, it is a communal obligation where the whole community is obliged to do so. But as long as some among them do so, then the obligation on the others is lifted. And in our times, we are not engaged in sharing this message, conveying this message. So we can say in general, as scholars have said, that it is in our times an individual obligation. Then Allah goes on to say that when calling people to the way of Allah, and calling them, of course, by saying that it is to Sabil Rabbik, the way of your Lord, that it is to Islam, and it's not necessarily to a culture, because sometimes people, in inviting others, they invite them into Arab culture, or to Malaysian culture, or to Gambian culture, some country's culture. And they think, well, this is Islam, so I'm inviting them into Islam. But in fact, they're inviting them into the culture and the customs of a particular people in a particular place. Whereas Islam is beyond people and place. So the call or invitation should be to Islam itself. And we should be very careful not to offer people or promote our cultures or the cultures that we may be living in the place of Islam. We should be clear, because this is a confusion which exists around the world, where even Muslims, to some degree, don't know what is culture and what is Islam. They just think that whatever we do is Islam, because we're Muslims, so whatever we do is Islam. But that's not the case. In many cases, things that we're doing have nothing to do with Islam at all. And these become issues that the detractors of Islam, those who speak against Islam, attack Islam, etc., they point the finger at these things, assuming that this is something that Muslims do, this is a part of Muslim practice. But in fact, it isn't. So people of a particular area, like a female genital mutilation, for example, Muslims are globally attacked about this. You know, look at you people. In Egypt, in Sudan, in Somalia. But actually, when you go into these areas, you find it in Ethiopia, also amongst Christians. You find it in Egypt, amongst the Christians that are living there. You find it in Sudan, amongst the Christians. Well, Somalia, okay, there are no Christians there, but in Kenya, you'll also find it amongst Christians and others. So it's not really a Muslim custom. People accepted Islam, this was part of their tradition, and they continued. But it's now associated with Islam as part of Islamic culture, when in fact it isn't at all. And that's an extreme example, but there are many other examples for which Muslims are attacked, you know, in the media, etc., when in fact Islam is free of these practices or ideas. So it's very important that we call to the way of our Lord, that is Islam. Pure Islam. Islam which was brought by Prophet Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. Not Islam as perceived by people in different places. Now, Allah goes on to say, bil hikmah, with wisdom. We pointed out before that the basis for the wisdom is that which is found in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Revelation, that is the foundation of wisdom. But then there is also wisdom which comes from knowing people, knowing the psychology of people, choosing the right circumstances, choosing the right people. You know, that we, if we're going to call people, we look at them. We don't just speak to anybody and everybody. We try to understand those who we're speaking to. If we don't understand their backgrounds, where they're coming from, you know, then we might be saying things which are irrelevant or things which may be offensive. So we should use wisdom in conveying the message to people. putting yourselves in their shoes when you're explaining things. Being careful. A lot of times when Muslims try to explain things, they explain it using Islamic terms. So the person they're speaking to, not familiar with these Islamic terms, you know, there are huge gaps in what is being said to them. So we have to be careful when we're talking, what language we're using. I mean, there are things which become common amongst Muslims who speak English, for example, that we refer to certain things using Islamic terms. So a masjid, for example, okay, maybe the non-Muslims have heard of mosque, but masjid they didn't hear because this is not commonly used. So by using that, you know, we have to go to the masjid, then the person is at a loss. Well, what's that? Well, what's a masjid? You know, maybe they will ask, maybe they will not. So again, these are amongst the issues that we could say is wisdom from, you know, acquired wisdom, which doesn't necessarily have its foundation in Quran and Sunnah, except that we can say that the Quran and the Sunnah is also very clear in its expressions and in its clarifications. And then Allah goes to say, with maw'idhatil hasana, and with fair preaching, that, you know, when we are conveying the message, we do so in a gentle way, you know, not screaming, shouting, fire and brimstone approach. No, but we try to get across the message in a very calm and very, you know, good way that would attract people, that would cause them to want to listen and to understand more. So the mode or the way by which we're speaking is also very important. And finally, Allah mentions, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and we discuss with them with that which is better. Means we don't get into heavy argumentation, you know, very heated arguments. When things are going in that direction, that's the time to just cool it off. Okay, yeah, we can discuss about this at another time. Or, you know, maybe this is not the appropriate time. No, let's leave this. We don't need to, you know, get into it. It's not really an argument per se. I'm not trying to prove that you're wrong and win this. No, it's just about conveying, sharing the message of Islam to others. We try to do so in the nicest and calmest way. When people become loud, etc., we just try to cool them down. Don't join them. Don't sink to their level. So these are among the additional elements that could be gained, could be extracted from this verse from Surah An-Nahl, in which Allah told us to discuss with others using that which is better. And we're going to take a short break now, and after the break we'll come back to look at some other aspects of what's best or what's better in da'wah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Psychology in this day and age can be extremely problematic and incredibly dangerous. Yes, you heard that. Psychology can be problematic because most of the content that we are studying is coming through secular sources. And when we take this content without any understanding of Islam, this can lead to a lot of confusion. This is where IUU comes to our rescue. IUU's Islamic psychology courses are intricately designed to help us understand the relationship between Islam and psychology. And not only that, it also helps us to scrutinize modern psychology through the lens of Quran and Sunnah. We invite you to gift yourself one of these courses this semester and start exploring the relationship between Islam and psychology through authentic sources.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back from the break. Continuing with the idea of da'wah, or calling others to Allah, conveying the message, we have a narration, hadith from Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, which was related by Sahal ibn Sa'd, and he quoted the Prophet as saying, Wallahi la an yahdi Allahu bihudak rajulan wahidan khayrun laka min humr an-na'am. By Allah, It is better for you that Allah guide one person to Islam through your efforts than to have the most valuable possessions. So this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, puts the value of guiding others to Islam on a very high pedestal. It is of such great reward that it outshines anything that's in this world. There are a number of other narrations which also mention it being better than anything in this world. Because actually, Humr and Na'am really are red camels. And of course, red camels don't have very much significance to those of us who live in places where we don't deal with camels. I mean, I don't even know what a red camel looks like. But in those areas, what was referred to as red camel was the most valuable camel. And believe it or not, you know, camels are actually sold even today for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Anyway, the point is that what was most prized, or the most prized possession that you can think of, know that for you to guide someone, or for Allah to guide someone through you, is worth more than any of it. So this really, when the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, told us that, he was encouraging us to actively engage in sharing the message and trying to guide others. This is an extension of the verse that we looked at in the first segment of this episode. One thing to note here is that the Prophet ﷺ said, it is better for you that Allah guide one person through your efforts. This is the point, that Allah guides. Ultimately, we cannot guide people to Islam. What we can do is to share the message, convey the message to them, and if they're sincere, Allah will help them to grasp it, to take it, and they will be guided. So our goal is not necessarily to convert people to Islam. If they convert, that's wonderful. But if they don't, that's not really a problem, because our responsibility is to convey the message, not necessarily to guide people. And even Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was told by Allah that you can't guide who you love. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You can't guide those who you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. But Allah guides whom He wishes. So it's not really in our hands. And that's why even Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, in spite of his efforts to guide his uncle to Islam, Abu Talib died without accepting Islam. Though he heard, he saw, he understood, but he held on to the traditions of his people and wouldn't let go. But Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tried everything he could, but Allah wished otherwise. And that remains as a sign and a message to us. And this is very important, because if we accept this responsibility to share the message of Islam with others, and we have in our mind that it's about converting other people, then we go out, we explain to one person, they heard but they didn't convert. Two, three, four, five. After we've done it a few times and we find nobody's converting, then the likelihood is we're going to quit. We say, it's not working. Either all these people are just too hard-headed, whatever, it's no point, it's a waste of time, you know? Or I'm just not doing this right, you know, I just can't handle it. And they quit, because they were mistakenly thinking that their responsibility was to guide people, meaning to convert them to Islam. But that is not the responsibility. Responsibility is only to convey the message. As Allah said elsewhere in the Quran, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. That what is on you is to convey the message, and it is on me to take them to account. It is Allah who will take people ultimately to account, whether they heard the message and rejected it, or heard it and accepted it. That is with Allah. So our duty is just to get the message to them and leave the rest to Allah. And if that is clear, then we don't become demotivated when our efforts don't seem to bring fruit. And we should know that oftentimes when you express or convey Islam to others, and they may even be arguing with you, at the same time, your ideas may be going into their heads. And externally, they seem to be resisting, but internally, some things are clicking, they're making sense. But they leave you, and they seem to be the same way they met you. Then they meet somebody else, who they get into another discussion with. And similar things happen. But more links are being made in their minds. But they seem to still externally be the same. They haven't changed. And so on and so forth. They may meet a number of people. Till finally they meet somebody who, at that point, everything has reached a culmination and they just needed a final word and they accepted Islam. The point is that oftentimes people may accept Islam after having heard from many, many other people. There are many people who played parts on the way. You know, it's rare that a person will just take one from zero to accepting Islam in one sitting. That's rare cases, you know. Usually it takes some time for people to absorb the information, unless they've already been reading. Many times people come, they've already been reading on their own. They've been checking things out on the internet. They've built up a body of information. They just need, you know, a face-to-face presentation, which gives them the final clarification, and then that's enough for them to accept Islam. So know that you may just be one of the people on the way, on the path of that individual. And your job is not to reap the fruit. Your job is just to help water that plant so it will grow eventually. It will produce its fruit. Others may reap it in that sense, but you get reward for having conveyed that message. Whether the person accepts or they don't accept, you get reward. If Allah also chooses to make them accept Islam at the time when you have done the conveyance, this is a special blessing from Allah for you and for them. So, as Allah, through His Messenger, has informed us, we should value this job of conveying the message of Islam, because Allah has given it among the greatest of values. It might seem like nothing, it might seem insignificant to us, but Allah considers it very significant and very important. So we owe it to ourselves to make that effort. Whatever knowledge that we have, we invite others to it. If we don't have enough knowledge, we get knowledge, we get help. If we're explaining, we get stuck. You know, we don't try to give people explanations from our own heads when we don't really know what is the real deal in this case. No, we tell them, you know, I'll get back to you tomorrow. You know, I'm not too sure about this point. There's no harm. Be honest. You don't know, then ask those who know so you can come back and convey the message. So with that, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this episode of The Best in Islam. I bid you farewell and hope to see you in our next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.